Hey everyone, Zach here. Before we start today's episode on Jennifer Lopez's Anaconda, between filming the episode and now, Jon Voight released this pro-Trump crazy conspiracy theory bullshit rant video. So we don't talk about that in the video. We just wanted to take this opportunity to say, Jon Voight sucks. Okay, that's it. Enjoy the episode. Bye.
Ramble.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
My Anaconda don't. Welcome to Guilty Pleasures. How y'all feeling in the building?
Stop. That wasn't even in the movie.
Oh, my God.
When we texted each other about doing this movie, Garrick texted that quote verbatim. I'm like, yeah, he's right. Yeah. That is the intro. Of course it is.
Yes.
I laughed
One
so
for the home team.
I laughed so hard. Though I'll post also the way that you wrote it. How you guys feeling?
Yeah, Snickies.
Sexy. Today, we are talking about the 90s cult classic Anaconda. What if I told you, dear viewers, that there is an action horror adventure starring J-Lo and Ice Cube fighting a giant-ass snake where Lightning McQueen himself gets gobbled to death? You would say that's the best fucking movie of all time, right? Well, we're here to tell you it's not.
You're wrong. You're very wrong.
It gets worse.
It's fucking crazy.
This
had you guys ever seen this?
So I watched this when I was very young with my brother. Probably too young to watch this movie.
That's my memory of it too. It's like vague, fuzzy, oh, this is scary.
Right.
Oh, I remember being in Blockbuster and seeing it.
Yeah. Oh wow.
Remember
you watched the whole thing in
No, like just seeing the cover and be like, okay. Oh, spooky.
Oh, yeah. It was a really good cover. I'll give it that, where it's just like this scary snake staring at you and it just says the title underneath it. But like, yeah, I feel like all the marketing and whatnot was fantastic for it.
It's funny because, we should mention that Kelsey has a new adopted dog.
Foster dog.
His name is Schmeet.
His name is technically Bowie, but I refuse to call him Bowie. Cause,
maybe Gus Gus.
Yeah.
Gus
so
Gus.
Hippo, meatball.
He's breathing heavy.
So if you wonder what that noise is and you're not watching it.
It's not Miles salivating at our wonderful
He's just
content.
So happy to be here.
It's Miles.
It's me.
Yeah.
He's fucking cute, though.
He is very cute.
Jaws came out in the 70s.
Yeah.
We went through a little lull.
Yeah.
And then for whatever reason, in the late 90s into the 2000s, there was just this rebirth of the monster movie.
Yeah.
And so we had giant snakes. It culminated in what I believe is the perfection of the genre with Deep Blue Sea.
We'll
get to that someday.
What if the sharks were smart as fuck?
They are smart.
Yeah. There's that classic story about how,
James Cameron?
James Cameron.
How did you know?
How did you fucking know
he was going to say James Cameron?
Because the story is so great.
Of how he pitched Aliens, where he walked up to a whiteboard. Wrote Aliens and then put a dollar sign through the S. And that's how he sold the movie. And that's like a legendary story.
So the movie, the first one was Alien. Yep. Then he just adds a money sign, Aliens. And they're like, oh shit.
It's multiple ones. We're going to make money. Fuck yes. Anyway.
But isn't that how all of them go with these Monster Lagoon under the dark movies? It's like it starts off with one big bad. And then the sequel is they had babies.
Yeah, okay. Of course. Mm-hmm. But like with this one, I feel like the writer walked in and he was just like, what if it was Jaws, but with big ass snakes?
Yeah.
And then that's.
I think the way he pitched this is he went to a whiteboard and wrote Nake. And then he added a money sign to the front of it.
Nice.
And he wrote J-Lo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, yeah.
So you could probably guess what this movie's about. There's a big ass snake.
Big old snake.
Big ass snake.
They start dying. Snake. That's the movie. But more specifically, J-Lo stars as somebody.
Hey, she's a female director, and it's nice to be represented. Yeah,
she true. Is, oh, and what a fleshed out character that is.
Man, her and the project manager was a lady. Uh-huh. I mean, women in film, am I right? Documentaries.
We stand.
Getting eaten.
So she's in the Amazon. It's like a National Geographic type company. They're filming some sort of documentary, but then they find this creepy guy played by John Voight.
Slash Classic. Christopher Walken. Slash.
We'll sit there in a second.
They're the same person.
That's Angelina Jolie's father.
Correct.
Which one?
John Voight.
Which one was in the movie?
John Voight. Okay, I'll take a big fucking pause for this synopsis. For whatever reason, these two confuse John Voight
for
Christopher and Christopher Walken.
They're the same person.
Oh my God, convince could not be otherwise. More different.
Until they start speaking, then I know which one is Christopher Walken and which is John
Voight.
Christopher Walken is one of the most singular performers.
Fair.
His voice cadence is unlike anyone else.
Did you hear this guy's accent in this movie?
Well,
that's true. But he was not speaking a ton at the beginning. Okay. And I was just like, well, whatever. I don't know if this is John Voight.
So you just think
Angelina Jolie's father or Christopher Walken, the one with the crazy voice.
Yeah. So they run into Angelina Jolie's dad.
Yeah, Daddy Jolie. And he is a snake hunter.
Oh,
with a bad accent.
The only thing scarier than the Amazon is the people in it.
Ooh.
Oh, no, I mean, that's like what I would pitch if I were doing the fucking...
Yeah, that's right.
He's kind of the real bad guy.
Yeah.
He is a bad boy.
He's a bad boy. And things start going bad. And then turns out now we're hunting snakes, bitch.
The documentary is no longer about the native people of the land.
No.
It is now about watching this old fucking nutter catch a giant animatronic snake.
Animatronic... false. It is very CGI.
So sorry.
And also animatronic. I'm sorry.
It's both. It's
checking in with the nerd of the group.
I'm sorry. It
false.
Is also
it's whatever looks worse in the scene is what they chose.
The opposite. There was some practical snake use in there. There had to be. Yeah.
There was. No, there wasn't like a real snake.
I was trying to gauge how what would you compare this snake as the size to? A school bus?
Probably.
It's long. It ain't as thick as a school bus.
Yeah. Big enough to wrap itself around a school bus is probably the best way to put it.
Yeah, you think that's how big long it is? Because that also doesn't seem that long for a snake. Snakes are long.
Snakes are long. Anacondas are very long. Okay. Anacondas never stop growing.
What?
No. Nope. What are you talking about?
They never stop growing.
Like old man's ears?
Yep. And old man's balls.
I wouldn't know.
Anyway, they're like earlobes. But... yeah, they never they have a growth spurt when they reach adulthood
and then
they never stop growing. Because when I watched this movie with my brother, he would never stop poking holes in it because he's too smart for his own good.
Shout out to Garrick's brother yet again.
He's a genius.
You can call me. You can get my number from Garrick.
He's a genius.
So this movie begins with a scrolling red wall of text. And I go, "Oh yeah, we're in for a good time," because the studio and or the director and or writer trust the writing of this film so little that they need to telegraph from the beginning what an anaconda is, that there is this mythical snake, that it regurgitates people for fun.
Mm-hmm.
They just tell you.
Wait, it regurgitates people for fun?
That it like does it because they've been known to regurgitate. Yeah, it says something like that.
How do you get into the psychology of a snake where you're like, you were doing that for silly goofs?
Well, it's like, it's not satisfied with just eating. Sometimes it will regurgitate and eat more.
Oh, ew. So they meet John Voight, Daddy Jolie, and then it becomes about catching the snake and doing what?
He just
making
wants to
money.
Show it off. Yeah, he wants to show off that he caught this big-ass snake and
so
be back
in
the
ever
papers.
Said?
No,
because he's like, we're going to make $1 million.
Yeah, there was just that
doing
one
what with it?
Picture of him in the paper holding a giant ass snake with Mateo.
Oh,
that's it.
R.I.P. Mateo.
R.I.P.
Wait, can we go first through loss. Like what trope like characters are the crew of this?
Oh, sure.
We got to like montage getting the gang together, right?
You got the lady director. Mm-hmm.
The hot one.
You've got the production assistant.
Yep.
Also the hot one.
Who doesn't know what her name is because she doesn't matter much.
You've got the goofy sound guy played by Owen Wilson.
Yeah.
He's horny.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he makes sure that you know.
Yeah.
I wrote down his line.
Yep. He's also
time
cop.
Is it just me or does the jungle make you horny?
Really, really horny.
I've got only one thing on my mind right now.
And you've got Ice Cube, the sound guy.
No, he's the cameraman.
Oh, you're right. Cameraman. Sorry. There can't be two sound guys.
How dare you?
The cameraman who's J-Lo's boy from back in the SD days.
Yeah. Oh, SD? I thought this whole time they were saying SC, like South Carolina.
I meant to say SC, like USC, and I stuttered.
They went to USC.
USC.
That makes a lot more sense for film school.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then you've got the...
The rich...
The host.
Yes.
I forget the name of the actor, but he played one of the hunter. He played the hunter in Jumanji.
Yep.
He kind Very of always scary. Plays that jerk. Mm-hmm. Then you have the ship captain.
Yep.
And you have Mateo, who is the captain of the boat.
Yep.
They say his name about 8,000 times throughout the movie.
Name. Mateo.
And then you have Eric Stoltz as J-Lo's love interest slash the
wounded anthropologist. Guy. He did not need to be in the movie.
I'll get back at the end.
I think I know what you want to say.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
That J-Lo and Ice Cube should have been together?
No.
Oh, okay. Because that's what I was
standing.
But
standing. I mean, sure, yeah.
I forgot the boyfriend existed. And then when they didn't kiss at the end, I was like, what? And then I was like, oh, yeah, he's still alive.
Yeah. Okay, we can just talk about it.
All right, talk
about
it.
That man is not good enough for J-Lo.
He's not good enough for J-Lo at all.
First of all,
I fucking hate it.
J-Lo in her prime. That bitch is always in her prime.
She's been in her prime.
She's been in her prime.
Pleasure number one, Jennifer Lopez has been bad as hell since the day she was born. Well, maybe since the day she was 18.
Yeah, it is.
She does not get enough credit for how good of a fucking actress she is. She's a great actress. She played... That fucking part to the gods, honey. She was like, I don't care how bad it was.
There was
not a lot to play.
She took it very seriously.
The way she was swimming is when I was just like, oh, she's really going for it. She like when the anaconda was in the water and it was like, swim. And she was scared.
I
was like, oh my God, okay. You didn't have to do that at all.
She was in her craft, honey.
Yeah. This was her second role coming right off Selena. But I don't think that her music career had started yet.
Definitely not The Wedding Planner yet.
You're right.
Oh, my God.
Which is my favorite film.
Enough is my favorite film that she was in.
Okay, I was arguing this with someone earlier about like how that was actually a really good movie, and they were like, no, they were still like sexualizing her. I was like, being a badass.
Who's that person?
Don't worry about it.
I did the beginning of this film.
She does Krav Maga in the movie. She literally beats the dog shit out of a grown man.
Man, I said that was really cool. But they were like, yeah, but she was in a sports bra the whole time. And I was like, and she was really oiled up the whole time.
But she was sweaty. She wasn't.
But also, you're saying that it's a bad thing.
Yeah, we gotta rewatch it. Anyway.
I saw enough as a sweltering teenage boy, and I did not think she was a sexual.
The last thing I want to picture you as is a sweltering teenage boy.
What do you mean?
We're moving on.
I was a sweltering teenage boy.
I don't
want to
hear about the status of your swell.
Anyway, my hands were slippery. All the time, is what I'm saying. But like,
were
it was a very exciting
movie?
Time for him. You know, his voice was changing. His butt was growing.
Oh my God!
No.
Garrick's got the fattest donk in the room.
His donk was donking.
And we got the meatball boy in here too. So that's really saying something.
His donk was J-Lo. Okay, not to jump into. Yeah. She's just very beautiful.
She's very pretty.
And the beginning of this movie wants you to know it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You see the outline of her nipples very prominently in the first 15 minutes of this movie.
Tank. Yeah.
So much.
Yeah.
And it's shocking.
They're like, we know the storyline's not going to keep these people in their seats. So what can we do to make the people want to stay?
I felt like a fucking like Mr. Skin over here where I rewinded the movie and I'm like, I think I can see her nipple through her shirt.
Yeah.
And
I rewinded.
And then I was like, now I'm weird because I'm rewinding and pausing
Amazon.
And still framing.
She's not going to wear a bra. You know, it's hot down there.
That's fair.
I don't blame her.
That's fair. I don't blame her either.
Yeah.
And I actually champion that choice.
Free the nipple. I'm glad we're all liberated.
Yeah. This was also the era of thin eyebrows.
Okay. Let's get into it.
Yeah. That's what you want to dive into?
Yeah, that's what I want to dive into. Because the whole time I was thinking, what got this movie to be so lowly rated? And then they shine the light on J-Lo's eyebrows. And I was like, Jesus Christ. Those are bad. They're bad, really bad thin eyebrows. I didn't even know that she had eyebrows for like the first 20 minutes of the movie.
I don't know how eyebrows work, Kelsey. What do they do to get them?
Overpluck the ever-living shit out of it.
Did you see Kendall Jenner at the Met Ball this year.
That was Met Blonde.
Gal. But they kind of look the same.
No, Blonde is a fashion look.
This
Overplucked is a look, but now it's like a vintage throwback.
Yeah
that was like blonde eyebrows are like high fashion.
Disagree.
Highly disagree. You don't look like Super Saiyan 3 Goku. Okay. You look bad every time. You look stupid. Fucking grow your eyebrows. Don't do like the skin flap bullshit. It looks bad.
We want thicky brows.
We want those thick boys.
Got you two caterpillars right here. How did I just say that word? Caterpillars?
Caterpillars.
Caterpillars. I don't drink anymore.
We
guys.
Want your brows to be as full and volumed as
no
Garrick's
one cares what the fuck you do. What?
Yeah, nobody cares what you do, genuinely. But I feel like that's human.
It was a look.
It was a look. It's human anatomy to like look for somebody's eyebrows so that you can see like their expression for the most part. So if you don't have like. And there are people
it
who
out.
Have
just
like a really thick.
It freaks you out. Just
there's people with a really thick brow line.
Just
right?
Say you hate
and that goes
and
goes.
On.
But when you don't have that, it just doesn't work as well.
So this like movie is very 90s because I feel like even the music and the set design, everything feels like theme parkish. Like granted, this was like pre.
Yeah.
Michael Bay, whatever you want to say about like
before sparks,
sure,
explosions.
And it like, is it just me or does this film kind of have like a weird film over it? Like a weird.
There's like that bloom from Hook that we were talking
about. Yeah, it's like.
Is it
misty.
On film?
Oh, it's definitely on film.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't know what gave it it definitely feels dated.
I mean,
yeah.
It's like
not
tribal
just Owen
drums.
Wilson's, it's not just Owen Wilson's puka shell necklace.
No.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Although I will say this is not the first time I've seen Owen Wilson with a puka shell necklace.
Yeah, I feel like he probably
he
regularly
always
wears.
Kind of rocks it.
That's like his
he
thing.
He is a puka shell.
Yeah.
So now to bring it full circle, Eric Stoltz. Gets to be J-Lo's love interest, and I'm sorry, sir. In
no,
what world?
No.
Do you know Eric Stoltz? I mean, he's a great actor. He's in Pulp Fiction. He's in a lot of movies. But he was the guy who famously got recast as Marty McFly. You do not get rejected as Marty McFly and then get to bag J-Lo. It just doesn't work
honestly,
that way.
Honestly, it doesn't even fucking matter because 5 minutes into the journey of them down the Amazon on this little tug-tug boat, he gets... Yeah. Stung in the mouth by a poisonous wasp.
Truly the first like horrifying moment of the movie.
Yeah.
It's he's scuba diving.
Yeah.
And he like freaks out.
In the
out.
Amazon, which like why?
Yeah, I don't know.
No.
But he opens his mouth and there's like a giant black bug in it. And it's friggin' freaky.
It's a lot.
And they pull it out and Mateo's like, poison. And then he's unconscious for the rest of the movie. And it becomes about Captain Save-A-Ho. Now J-Lo can't make her fucking movie because this man is in distress. It's like a fucking course he can't take care of himself. He got stung by a poisonous Amazonian wasp.
They give him an emergency tracheotomy,
which is
disgusting.
They didn't need to do that.
No.
When you're fucking, you have a bug in your throat. Like,
it's
why
crazy.
Were you?
Maybe he got stung and it was closing his throat.
I don't think a tracheotomy
the man was too stunned to speak.
I don't think a tracheotomy would help your throat being closed.
And this is
would,
this
I,
comes
I don't know.
Immediately
you internet
after
doctors would love to.
And he does it with a pen. Haven't you seen that on Grey's? Like,
yeah, I've seen that on Grey's.
This comes immediately after they picked up old John Voidy boy on the side of the ocean, on the side of the river. Because his boat broke down.
Yeah.
So they've taken another man on board.
I suppose that this is the point where we need to address John Voight and his magnificent performance in this motion picture. John Voight is a great actor by all measures.
Yeah.
Is he?
Oscar nominated for Midnight Cowboy.
He's really good.
Okay.
A classic actor. But holy shit, the choices that he makes in this film.
He has a ponytail, like a long one.
A ponytail. His character is from Paraguay, even though he is...
Super white.
The whitest of white men.
Yeah.
And the accent.
And he talks like an Italian man.
Yeah.
But he says he's...
It's like a bad impression of Tony Montana or Inigo Montoya.
Yeah.
He talk like this. My name is John Voight, and I'm on the river.
He 100% watched Scarface once and was like, I got it.
I got
it. And just went out.
And he's like, starts off as this kind of like, curious character, right? Where they're like, can we trust him? Maybe he's just eclectic. And then Owen Wilson really like backs him up and is like, no, this guy knows the river. We should trust him.
Mateo, bring the boat around.
Yeah. And so they start to like trust him, but he's got nefarious intentions. He actually just wants to use them and use their boat to find the snaky snake.
Yeah. The snaky snake. Casting John Voight to be from
a
Paraguay?
Monster.
What a bad choice.
You would never, well, I was going to say you would never see that now, but then again, they cast freaking, what's her name from Avengers as an Asian girl, so.
Yeah. That's a great point. Yeah, yeah. I mean, now we only cast white people as Asians. So yeah.
a step in the right direction. This movie, it was giving me Jungle Cruise.
Yeah, I do love how anytime the jungle is mentioned in the 90s, they have to play reggae music.
Yeah.
Like, almost like it was a
not
fucking...
Not even the same...
Yeah, you get a Ziggy Marley jam in here, which like, that's not... The jungle.
They're from smoking a blunt.
This is in
I'm like,
the Amazon. This is
Jamaica
miles
and South
from
America.
Jamaica.
Very different.
Very
places.
Far away.
Very
yeah.
far.
No, but speaking of Ice Cube, is he not the best part of this movie?
Of course, he's the best part of this movie. He is. This is fresh off of Friday, is it not?
It must be. I mean, yeah. It's 97. So yeah,
I miss Friday Ice Cube. Yeah, that was like a good.
I don't know. You had 22 and 21 Jump Street.
I mean, no, he was great in those as well. But I just miss this era.
Young Cube.
Of Young Cube.
Young Cube.
Yeah.
Now there is something very interesting about Ice Cube because his first line of the movie, J Lo comes and says hi and goes, "How you doing?" And he goes, "Well, today is a good day," which is a reference to his music.
Yeah.
Then later in the movie, there's this scene where he's bumping his music, he's blasting rap, and then they have an argument about turning the radio up and down. It's a song that Ice Cube is on.
I like that.
So Ice Cube exists in this universe.
Yeah. Of course.
I think that's Ice Cube as himself.
As a filmmaker.
I think that Ice Cube is doing a favor.
Yeah.
To an old friend.
Yeah. J-Lo.
And I think that Ice Cube is playing himself in this film.
I do too.
But what's his name? His name is like Dennis or something.
It's a cover.
I didn't get any of their names.
All right.
Couldn't tell you one of their names except for Mateo.
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 Mateo is the most insignificant character in this film.
Yeah.
But and that is half of John Voight's dialogue.
But they say in the end that him and Mateo were working together. So he was kind of evil all along.
Yeah. Mateo.
He was setting them up to go out on this job.
But my whole question is, John Voight didn't have a boat?
Mateo.
I think that the boat that was shipwrecked in the trailer was his old one. And maybe Mateo
this
was
is
his
the,
buddy.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, the logic totally crumbles under any inspection.
Let's try not to break down the logic of this movie because
nothing would make sense.
I'm pretty flimsy.
Because him and Mateo know each other. Mateo's the captain of the ship. But when they find John Voight, he is stranded on a wrecked boat in a rainstorm in the middle of the Amazon River.
Yeah.
So how the fuck did he get there? Mateo wouldn't have known that he was there.
Right.
I imagine that when they like give each other that look, it's like, oh, I'm gonna pretend not to know you. What are you doing here?
Yeah. I guess, man. But I saw like they were in the same news clipping together and all of that stuff from before the crew noticed it. So I don't know. I don't know. I feel like the logic is very flawed and we should not
move
talk
on.
About it.
Yeah,
we should move on.
So the snake itself.
Oh, thank God. Wow.
This movie, just an absolute masterclass in how to not create an ounce of tension in your film.
Yeah. What?
What do you mean, what?
No, there's no tension.
No,
there's no tension.
Kelsey, no, I would love to hear what you have
to say. One of my pleasures, actually, was that their camera use of doing the POV from the sight of the monster really has you guessing what is coming. And I think
my God.
The reason why they had to add that scrolling text in the beginning to say it was an anaconda was because you deadass don't know what is coming until you see the snake for the first time, which is like way late in the second act. So I think the way that they use the camera in the water, they Dutch angle that bitch around, they put it under, they put it over. I thought it made me really scared. Every time they got in the water, I freaked out.
They show the anaconda 15 minutes into the movie.
15? Yeah.
I wrote it down. I wrote the time code.
What?
Yeah.
So let's again, Jaws is the reference in this genre, right? And you don't see the shark in Jaws until the very end of the movie. It's Like, it's just the building, right? And it's the suspense, and you don't know when it's going to happen. And then all of a sudden, someone gets it. You know, every scene in that movie, it builds up. You know something bad is going to happen.
Yeah.
In this movie,
scared the shit out of me every time it came
in this
camera.
Movie, the snake just appears.
Yes.
Every
just
time.
There.
That's how it scares you. It just gets you.
Gotcha.
It just shows up. It's like, I'm a snake.
There wasn't even like a musical sting, really. No. It just shows up. Yeah.
So I will give you, it's surprising. Mm-hmm. It's surprising.
Yeah. It's surprising how bad it looks.
No, it scared me.
I can't believe.
Just like, is that a blurry tuna that's coming out? It's a long tuna bass.
The first time you see the snake, again, 15 minutes in.
Yeah.
Firmly first act.
It's too dark.
It attacks a jaguar. The snake is very clearly like rubber.
Yeah.
And it is attacking what looks like a stuffed cat.
Yeah, yeah.
That you would get at FAO Schwartz.
Yeah.
So that, like, right there.
He squeezes it so hard that its eye pops out.
Yeah. Which is exhilarating.
Yeah.
It does that for the humans, too.
Then the next time, it goes away for a while.
Long, long time.
Mateo, it slips.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For no reason.
Yeah.
And he goes, whoa!
He slips and freaks out as if like something bad. It's like, bro, you just fucking slipped.
He's a clumsy lad.
Then there's no build of tension, no foreboding music, no nothing. All of a sudden, a snake pops out of the water, wraps its body around him, and pulls his body one way, his head another, snaps his fucking
like
neck.
Like a chiropractor. Yeah. He was helping him out.
Yeah. Oh, I want that adjustment.
Yeah.
I should be going to an anaconda.
You should be. But this snake is so strong. I wrote down like the things that this snake was capable of doing.
Yeah.
Like in the very, very beginning when it's telling like the pre-story of like the dangers of the snake where Danny Trejo is in it.
Yes.
Yeah. Surprise cameo. The snake comes under his boat and hits its head underneath the boat so hard that the nails shoot out of the wood upward.
A beautiful shot. Hilarious. Yeah. Slow motion. A nail going...
And then Danny Trejo gets bopped up to the ceiling because that's how strong he is. Mm-hmm. Then he also can basically carry a boat on his back when you attach it to him like a water skier.
Yeah. What is sort of a bummer is that the opening posited, one, the super strong snake, but also almost a hyper intelligent snake.
Snake's very smart.
And we never see that snake power again.
Yeah.
Mm, he's cunning. He's sneaky snake.
He doesn't really set anything up. He just attacks.
Yeah.
At the very end, when they're like trying to trick him and make him a puzzle and trap him, he gets out of the trap.
You love this snake.
I love this snake.
He just brute strengthed it.
Strong snake.
Yeah, it's just
I will say
snake.
My one guilt about the snakes, the bear snake, was that when it had its mouth open. It looked like a pussy. It looked like a vagina.
That's a
guilt? Tell me more about that. I've never seen one, so I'd like to know.
Very vividly. It like has a hole and many layers and flaps. And then
flaps?
Yeah.
It has flaps?
Yeah, it's got meaty flaps in its mouth.
What?
It's got like layers of throat.
Are you surprised it's the vagina or the snake has flaps?
The vagina! Obviously.
And then there's another shot of when it's eating a human. It goes from... The shot is inside the snake's belly, and it is a vaginal canal.
It's the best shot of the movie. Mm-hmm. It fucks so hard.
Yeah.
You get...
Literally.
I will say, Sam Raimi be damned, he did get him, or this director did get him, with a good wink of John Voight after he gets regurgitated.
God.
I was just like... Is this Raimi's friend? Does he know him?
Oh, my God.
But him after John Voight gets regurgitated.
Yeah.
John Voight's fully eaten.
He's fully eaten, fully digested, essentially. The stomach acids have done their work.
Yeah.
He's dying, essentially.
Yeah.
Gets regurgitated right in front of J-Lo's, at J-Lo's feet. And then just one last wink at her.
And then his skin is like sizzling from
bubbling
stomach acid.
And winks at her.
It's an insane moment.
That fully will fantastic. Never leave my brain.
Yeah, I wanted more of that. The campiness was hilarious.
Yeah.
And that shot that you talked about where you're in, it's a POV inside the snake's stomach as it unhinges its jaw and has, I forget whose body goes in it.
I think it's John Voight.
Is it John Voight?
Yeah, John
it's
Voight.
Like the climax.
God, it's a great shot. It's really fun.
It's insane. And like when Owen Wilson gets eaten too.
Yeah.
He so the order that it goes is Mateo's gone first.
Mateo.
Wandering off into the forest.
Yeah.
There's Owen Wilson.
Oh, wow. Owen.
And he jumps in the water to save his girlfriend.
Yeah, because his and nose is broken.
Girlfriend gets out, but the snake, Owen Wilson also gets back on board, but then the snake jumps up and takes him from the boat, wraps around him, twists him the opposite ways, his eyes bulge out, and then he takes him alive, and he, like, carries him into the water alive.
You also, every time someone here dies, you, like, get to hear their bones crack.
Yeah.
I'm jumping ahead, but when John Voight died, like, you saw his, like, cheek explode. Yeah. Which is fucking crazy. But the best part of Owen Wilson dying is there's this shot underwater of the snake swimming away and has a full Owen Wilson-shaped bulge. In
his tum-tum. He ate a human.
Ka-chow.
So this is where my brother fully just started breaking the movie apart. When a snake eats anything, they're down for like a month, 2 months.
They gotta digest.
That's why he regurgitates them all.
But I don't think he regurgitates them all. I think he just regurgitated him because he was an asshole.
Oh.
You taste bad.
Yeah, I don't like you. Right. So, like, he wasn't regurgitating all of them unless, you know, and of course, there were two snakes, which is, you know.
Probably the premise of the second
probably
one.
Probably the, yeah.
Here's the thing that it your brother could probably also debunk. Do snakes make those noises? Do the snakes make so many highs?
The hissing? Probably.
It's not a hiss. It's like a hee.
I don't know.
Hee. The dog is very confused. This snake makes a lot of noise that ain't a snake.
Yeah.
We should call your brother and ask.
Yeah, I'll ask him right now.
No, you could call him now if you want.
I think the answer is no. They don't make those noises. Okay. Yeah. I can tell you definitively.
Yeah, there was also wet sticks of dynamite. That was the other thing. You're not supposed to wet sticks of dynamite. They still explode, but I think it's very dangerous. It could like blow up in your hand.
So you get to see J-Lo blow the snake's fucking head off with a gun. And then there's just another one. Yeah. This is another snake at the end. Like, all of a sudden, it's like, why is that not more?
Because that wasn't the big one. I think they said it. They were like, that was an immature one or something.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah. And then the baby snakes, when it rained down snakes. Oh, yeah. We can't forget when it rained snakes on their boat.
Yeah, after the explosion.
All the snakes on the plane.
It's raining snakes.
Do you think that's where they got snakes on a plane from?
Probably.
I definitely, while we were watching this, I was like, damn, I want to rewatch Snakes on a Plane.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
We should watch that
it's
for the
so
show.
It's so fun.
Wait, isn't that like the definition of something we should watch for the show?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, cool.
And I also adore it.
I've never seen it.
It is the better version of this movie.
But can we say the best version of the snake getting killed is by Ice Cube when he...
Oh my god.
Sticks it in the head and then says, bitch.
Yeah.
And that's how it finally dies.
I was crying. I was laughing. So I had to rewind it and I recorded it and sent it to you guys. But I was laughing so hard at watching Ice Cube swing this pickaxe at this thing's head and missing several
times.
He missed. It's the biggest snake you've ever seen.
It's
right there.
It's huge
and he missed a bunch of times.
He's not a baseball player, okay? He's a rapper.
He just has to swing down. It is right there. It's on fire. It's so obvious.
That was pretty crazy.
That was hilarious.
But I was a little upset that they let Ice Cube get the final kill instead of J-Lo. She's the star.
She was the female director.
Yeah,
that should have had that as her redemption story.
It just is lazy screenwriting. Like some screenwriters, like, well, certainly the woman can't kill the snake.
They'd be like, you know what would be funnier?
We need a man to clean this mess up.
Yeah,
and then he needs to dub over bitch.
I mean, the fact that he said bitch, I'm like, I'm pretty down with it.
Yeah,
it gave me a lot of joy.
You're so right though, because like even when they blow it up out of the like little gasket hole, J-Lo was like running for her life.
Yeah.
And I keep almost calling him Ice Tea because that sounds delicious right now. Ice Cube's like, don't worry, I'll MacGyver this fucking bomb to blow this bitch out of the water, literally.
Grew up in Compton. He knows how to make bombs.
Wow. Yeah. They really missed the mark on that one. Yeah.
Something that's quite admirable about this film not a character arc in sight.
None.
I hate none. It when I'm watching a movie and they're just trying to cram character down my throat.
Yeah,
I'm here for fucking snakes, bro.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, but it's honestly crazy. what is their character? What did she learn? What did she grow? What happened?
They nothing. All die. So why would they need any growth?
What about J-Lo?
It's a monster movie.
She's a Who woman. Cares? She doesn't get one.
Yeah.
T-Cube got the most growth. Mm-hmm. Does he come back in the other ones?
I don't know.
I think he's in another one.
See? Growth.
But like,
but you had to watch two movies to get it.
She doesn't... I wouldn't say that she really has like a flaw or a problem coming into the movie. I wouldn't say that she learns anything from the movie. And I wouldn't even really say that she's different when the movie ends. That's how I like my cinema.
She saved her boyfriend this time.
I like my movies static.
Isn't it crazy that I dead ass forgot the boyfriend existed because he's unconscious in the boat the entire movie.
The most horrific moment of the movie is so subtle, and I'm curious if you guys even caught it.
Ooh.
So we talked about how he had this emergency tracheotomy. At the end, he like wakes up all dazed and he like helps knock out John Voight's character. John Voight reaches his hand back, grabs his neck. But like you can barely see it because his body's covering him, and he squeezes his neck, and blood shoots out of the hole in his neck, and it's like out of focus at the side of the frame in the background. And I'm like, why even include that detail?
Yeah. Jeez,
it's just like showing that he could fight or something, or
he remembers. Anyway, he made that hole in you, and he'll take it out of you.
It doesn't matter because Eric Stoltz popping up, I truly forgot he was in this movie.
Yeah.
I was like, dog, he was on the boat the whole time. The whole fucking time. He's just chilling on this boat.
The whole time.
And he's just asleep on the boat while they get attacked by two giant anacondas.
A tree falls on the boat.
Falls on the boat. A silo explodes. And he's still asleep.
He's asleep. He's got the poisonous wasp bite.
Fuck that. Fuck all of that logic.
Oh, so he survived.
He survived.
So there's three that lived.
Yeah.
What's he up to?
Why didn't the anaconda go for the person that was asleep, the one that wasn't running away?
I don't know, man.
I'm yelling.
I'm yelling. You want to talk about yelling? The movie ends by ending.
Yeah.
What happened there?
You're watching the movie.
Nothing.
And then all of a sudden, the credits start rolling. You're like, what?
I thought I missed something.
And then you go back and no, it just, they're like, we're done here.
We're done.
How did it end?
Wrap it up. It feels like somebody was in the back of the room giving the film the light. Like, just to get off.
Okay. Well, that's all my time, folks.
That's all my time.
I gotta wrap
it
up. Bye.
Yeah, they saw the indigenous people.
Right.
The camera survived through him,
all of that.
Him in the swamp water, through him blowing up an anaconda. Yep. I have to go back to that.
The trees falling,
all of that stuff. His pristine film camera survived. And she was just like, could you roll film? And he said, rolling. And then
that was it.
That was the end of the
Which
film.
The way you're describing it actually does sound more satisfying. It's so abrupt.
On paper, it's satisfying, but it is very abrupt. It just kind of happens.
What animal is the worst to be eaten by when you're having sex in the woods?
A piranha.
In the woods.
Mm-hmm. Well, if a piranha's in the woods, that would be shocking.
Yeah. So that would be it?
No, I would agree.
You think that's the worst animal to be eaten by?
No, but like I remember watching Piranha and at a young age, and I'm still afraid of that fish.
Damn.
Because, you know, blood in the water, all that stuff. So watching them swim, I was like, you know what would have been scarier if it was like piranhas?
There were
like
piranhas
leeches.
At one point.
They referenced them. And you know what I was thinking? I'm glad you brought this up. I actually don't think one big snake is that scary.
No.
I think that snakes, plural,
is scarier. Yeah, 100%. If there's like a snake pit, seeing a snake pit.
Snake pit's
just
scary.
Fucking.
Snakes don't bother me.
Or a bunch of snakes that would move in tandem.
Right.
Like that would be a
like
scary
a snake
movie.
Army.
Yeah. Like I think like imagine a scene where like they're in a room and like snakes are coming in from every direction. Like that would freak me out as a ninja more, I think.
Yeah. Like, and as human beings, we have weaponry. You know, one of the things that the Amazon is known for is machetes. Mm-hmm. And that, you know,
my dad macheted a snake before.
Yeah, that's the ultimate.
I would like to hear more.
Yeah, me too.
My Dalmatian growing up, we had this big like leash where she could run back and forth as far as she wanted to, and she didn't have to stay in the yard. And she was going crazy trying to get off her leash. And my dad was like, what is happening? And then my dog starts like running and we're like, oh my God, what is she running from? And so my dad grabs a shovel. Mm-hmm. And you know how a shovel is a little sharp on one side? And he just goes outside and we're all watching and he just, fling. Was it my dad or my mom? One of them went out there and macheted it.
Let's say your mom because.
Let's say my mom. It sounds cooler.
It sounds cooler.
It also sounds like something she would do.
Yeah.
Anyway, chopped his head off.
Wow.
Two moments that really made me lose my mind. Very small details, and I'm curious if you caught them.
Mm.
When J-Lo and Eric Stoltz kiss early in the movie,
yep.
Did you see the way that she went in for the kiss?
No.
This is how you know it's early in J-Lo's career, and she's like not used to acting.
She does like a double.
She puckers up. She goes, and then goes in for the kiss.
Yeah.
I recorded it on my phone. I will post it. I'm going to play it for you right now. Okay. It's so fucking funny.
Maybe it's kind of like she's like asking for one. Like,
Yeah, that's what I read it as.
Oh.
Rather than like.
But that's like
acting.
Too cute.
I mean, I thought it
you.
Was.
Oh, yeah. That is weird. she's clearly asking for a kiss with her lips.
But it's like she started to pucker up and then realized like, oh, I'm not supposed to. Like she forgot how to kiss in that.
Yeah. It was like, oh, wait.
And they left that in the movie. That's another thing. Don't leave that in.
Oh, I saw something weird that was in the movie. Did you guys notice it?
What, the body being gone?
Oh, no.
I'm sorry.
No body.
After John Voight's character triangle chokes this woman to death.
Oh, my God.
Her body is just gone.
Oh.
After
it just
when we go back, it's just gone.
Oh, I was going to say the reverse waterfall.
I read this in the fun facts, but I didn't see it.
Oh, there's a fun facts? So literally there's a shot where I guess the boat is like going towards a waterfall, but it's actually going away from it in the real shot. But they have it going towards the waterfall and the waterfall's going the wrong fucking direction.
I didn't even realize
and
that.
And the sound is like it's a waterfall, but it's going backwards.
I didn't even say that.
This movie is a disaster.
It fucking sucks.
This movie's perfect.
It doesn't suck.
It fucking sucks.
No, it doesn't suck.
It fucking sucks dick.
Wait, you would tell people not to watch this?
I would tell people not to watch this.
Bye.
Wow.
It's so campy, goofy, guilty, fun.
We're cutting ahead to the end.
This is like what this show is about. How dare you?
I'm sorry.
You seem like you had a good time, though.
Yeah.
I was laughing.
You watched it at 8 in the morning.
Yeah, I laughed. I watched it at 8 in the morning, laughing my ass off at the terrible parts. So if that's what you want to do, go for it. Go for it. If you want to make fun of the movie, blah, blah, blah. I didn't know the movie was this bad.
It's
so
really
I fully
shocking.
Felt like I was wasting
Wait,
my time.
Wait, is this your first time seeing it?
Yeah. I
since
mean, as a child, since being
okay.
a child. Yeah. So I'll just say yes.
It was shocking just how poorly made it is.
Yeah.
So then there's this one shot, Ice Cube and J-Lo at the end. They get like sweat. Okay, they're tied back to back together because John Voight tied them up.
And as bait.
As bait. The snake,
the snake
wraps its tail around
monkey
them.
Blood. I'm sorry.
What?
That okay, actually I'll pause mine. Yeah, there is it is canon in this film that snakes love monkey blood.
They fucking love
Do they?
Monkeys.
Because this snake literally spit it out at them. Remember when he spits out the snake on the boat?
Oh, the monkey.
Yeah.
Yeah, he spit out the monkey. Yeah, that was gross.
Mm-hmm. That was weird.
Yeah, but he like, John Voight goes monkey hunting.
Yeah.
Which is something I've never seen in a film.
And J-Lo goes, not on my boat.
So they're tied back to back and the snake wraps them up and it like very quickly they like go like, whoosh, 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 like they twirl up like pasta. And I was just imagining the fact that they had to, for that CGI shot, they had to have J-Lo and Ice Cube standing on a spinning platform going, whee!
Yeah,
that
hilarious.
Sounds so fun, like a lazy Susan.
And to go back in time and be there the day that J-Lo and Ice Cube were back to back on a lazy Susan,
yeah,
rotating around on a green screen,
yeah,
pretending
that's cinema history.
Like, yeah, it's got to be.
Eaten by a snake, getting squeezed by a snake. How much money did they pay them all? Do we know? How much money?
Oh, very little, I'm sure. They were, the movie made a lot of money.
It did?
It was a big hit.
Yeah.
Critically hated, but big hit.
So instant cult
classic?
But this,
like, you can tell it was a hit because of it, it kind of launched a lot of people's careers in a weird way.
Well, J-Lo obviously became a star. Ice Cube went on to be in a lot of movies.
Owen Wilson didn't. Was he already
not because
a thing?
Of this, but yeah.
Yeah.
It he was added still to in his it. Resume. Yeah.
John Voight went back in time to star in Midnight Cowboy.
Wow. Yeah, it's just, it's incredible, like, in how many celebrities were in a movie this bad. Yeah. It's very rare, right?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Really?
I don't think so at all. Huh. Yeah.
I was just like, how did none of them say, like...
They were young.
Are you doing this? Are you doing this? Is this a good idea?
Their agent said, you're going to... I mean, first of all, just the log line alone, big fucking snake, I'm in.
Nom nom nom.
Gonna this is going to be the new Jaws, is what they said.
Oh.
I'm sure.
Oh. Yeah, I'd be in then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd do it.
We haven't talked about it. It's crazy that you have J-Lo and Owen Wilson. They went on to be a love interest and marry me. And they barely interact in this movie. Yeah. But it's, I had no idea that that was, that they had been on screen together before.
Huh. You think this is where it all started?
Yeah, they secretly fell in love here. And then they're like, we're going to make another movie together.
I'm still standing for Ice Cube and J-Lo. They belong together. They were the ride or dies. They literally like saved each other. They created so much sexual tension and then they just split it with a knife with a snake.
You think there was sexual tension?
I thought so. They're all sweaty.
No.
In their wife beaters. Wait, what did we say we're going to call them now? Whatever.
A-shirts, tank tops.
A-shirts?
I don't know. That's what they come in a pack at like Walmart or something. And just call it A-shirts.
I like that.
It's their shape.
Oh, the shirt, not the people
the
wearing
shirt.
That.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, drag them.
Oh, God.
Drag that white trash.
There is a scene where there's a scene where they're trying to trick John Voight into, you know, they're trying to capture him. So they use J-Lo's sexuality.
That made me so mad.
As bait, which is a very bad scene.
It was so gross that he still kissed her.
Yeah, he like grabbed her, the back of her head after he figured out the ruse, blah, blah, blah.
Fuck her up, baby.
Yeah, kissed her again. And then...
A lot of baiting in this movie.
Yeah. And then I forget the character's name, but the host...
Yeah.
Comes in and hits him with the golf club and says, asshole in one. And that's when I wanted to turn the film off.
Oh, man. I was like, turn the volume up, baby. That's like, so funny.
Let's get out of here.
I'm going to say that every day of my life. Asshole in one.
I'm done.
I want so much more of that. Like, if you're going to make a campy movie, I want every line to be the worst one-liner ever written.
That's fair.
How many more of these were made?
I think three.
A bunch. There was a lot. But there was one with a really good premise where they were looking for the tree of life. It's supposed to give you life forever. The anacondas were around it and they were eating it. And it's based off of the fact that anacondas grow for their entire lifespan.
There's four.
Whoa. So if they keep, if they live forever, they can grow to be the size of, you know, whales and all that shit.
So 97, 2004, 2008, and 2009.
They made one as recently as 2009.
One's called Anaconda's Trail of Blood. And wow, does the CGI look bad.
Let me see.
It looks like a video game.
Oh my God. Yeah.
This feels primed for a remake because it's IP. Time. And it doesn't matter.
No.
Yeah. You can do whatever the fuck you want with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we've got way too many Predator movies to go through. So let's do those.
Monster movies, I'm done. No thanks. My anxiety's high enough.
But I'm not done with Predator movies.
You fuck with Predator?
I fuck with Predator heavy. I don't know why. I just saw Alien versus Predator. Early
that's
and I
what
just
got you on
that's
board.
What got me and I just kind of clung to
we should
it
do that
and I went back through and I was like, oh yeah, these kind of rip.
A fun thing that I learned, so if you've been listening, I want to tell you, dear audience, I'm not gonna suggest if you watch this or not yet, but this is not scary.
No.
I need to tell you, like, of any movie I've ever seen that flirts
incorrect
with the horror genre,
incorrect,
it could not be less scary.
If you don't like jump scare, okay, it's not scary.
There's not even a jump scare.
Bitch, when that snake popped back out of the water after it had been burned, and you're telling me you expected that, you're wrong.
Because the way that it came out, it was like writhing in pain. It didn't seem like it was hunting anymore. It seemed like it was just trying to get water, like the heat off of it. So
what's crazy is that we made you watch Drag Me to Hell.
Yeah.
We made you watch scary movies, which are definitely scarier. And
this was scary. Can confirm.
We texted last night. We were going to watch Final Destination.
I will not.
Which is one of my absolute favorites. We will be watching it.
No, we won't.
But Kelsey said, if you make me watch that, I'm going to watch YouTube recaps instead. Yes. I'm not watching.
I'm not going to watch Final Destination. Too much anxiety.
Final Destination, the series as a whole, makes me too afraid of death.
Yes.
It's so anxiety.
That's what I think about when I smoke sativas.
Hurry enough right now. I don't want to have to also fear driving on the fucking highway or like behind a truck full of trees or whatever. This movie, as a scared person who identifies as a sensitive being, this movie is scary. If you don't like jump scares, you ain't going like this. But if you don't like thrillers, you'll be fine with it.
It's like, are you afraid of jump scares or are you afraid of Windows 95 graphics? Because essentially,
what a comp!
That's what it is.
It's like Snake on your phone.
Snake on your phone.
If you're afraid
of
that,
Nokia,
then you're gonna be afraid of Anaconda.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not at the end, but I think if you don't like jump scares, don't watch it on full volume.
No.
Because the scares, the hits and the sound effects were way louder than the dialogue in this movie. I kept having to turn up because I couldn't hear them talk, and then something would happen and it would scare the shit out of me and the cats.
I can't believe that I genuinely can't even consider them jump scares.
Yeah, I can't.
This snake popped out of the fucking water.
It's just appear. It's just snake appear.
Yeah.
No,
they just kind of happen.
They're biased.
And then when it jumps out of the water, this is the first for me, honestly. When the monster appears, I rewound because I thought I missed it.
Mm.
It's like there was something special. Did something happen to Mateo or whatever? And then I just went back to him being horribly killed and watching his neck get snapped.
I did watch it on slow-mo when the like scary snake parts were happening because I don't like jump scares.
Slow-mo?
Yes, because I don't like jump scares. This is the one thing
How
I can't
slow-mo
stand.
Slow-mo help? I'm just...
Because I can see it coming easier.
Mm.
Like, it's not so fucking like the dah, is it dah? It's more like and the jump isn't a jump. It's more of like a float, like a moonwalk.
Is it time for fun facts?
Fun facts with Zach's back.
So, this CGI, which is impeccable, cost $100,000 per second.
No, it fucking did it. No, it fucking...
Hey, man, 1997, it was a different time.
I thought you were going to say total, and I was like, what a bargain.
Yeah. So now I fully think it's a guilt because this is a waste of fucking money. Are you out of your mind?
That was a,
by the way,
a bad budget
This movie
decision.
Came out after Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. No,
just
that's
if that's what you're going for, just do animatronics because Jurassic Park is way scarier than this. Just figure out a way to do it, man.
That's not a fun fact. That was an angering
fact. That made me upset.
Give me a fun fact.
All right. Well, we've got some alt casting, which is my favorite
game. How
could
you get more random than this?
Well, so we've got the role of Paul Cerone, which went to John Voight. But before him, we had possible Sean Connery, Tommy Lee Jones, John Malkovich, and Jean Reno, who all turned down the role.
Yeah.
Wow. They went to that many people with this script?
Yeah.
Yeah,
John Voight was like, yeah.
I'm just trying to imagine how Tommy Lee is. Is that Tommy Lee?
Tommy Lee Jones.
Who's Tommy Lee Jones?
You're picturing Tommy Lee like the sex tape?
Oh, wow.
Very
I was like, how would that work?
Tommy Lee Jones, No Country for Old Men.
Men in
Will
Black.
Smith's counterpart, Men in Black. All
right. Also Angelina Jolie, right? Did they date?
What?
Did they put vials of blood around each other?
Billy Bob Thornton.
Scott, whatever. Too many names.
Mm. Okay.
Billy Bob Thornton does have too many names.
Yeah, thank you.
One too many names.
Yeah.
Uncle Billy Bob.
So Jennifer Lopez was not the first choice.
What?
How dare they? And I'll have you know that while this movie was nominated for many Razzies, she won a Saturn Award for her performance. Thank you very much.
No, wow. She won a fucking Saturn Award.
Thank you very much. Saturn Award.
Oh, okay, I don't know what that is.
It's a lesser one.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so they went to other actresses that were considered: Jennifer Aniston, Kate Beckinsale, Nicole Kidman, Sandy Bullock.
No,
they're like, who are the hotties of the time?
I mean, anytime we do this reading, it's really just who was on a list. I'm sure they never even talked to these people. It's just who's hot at that time. But so before J-Lo, however, they did offer the role to Gillian Anderson from The X-Files. And Juliana Margulies, they both declined the role.
Yeah. Wow, they went to so many fucking people.
Yeah, because there are a couple people who I feel like were above doing a horror movie at that point.
Yeah,
sure. Because that is what launches a lot of people. And
both Jillian and Juliana were TV stars. So, you know, it's like, oh, cool, we can get the hot new
fucking
TV star.
X-Files. Like, I'm going to be on this show for the rest of my life.
Yeah, I don't need to do this.
I don't need to do anything.
And this is the absolute best one. So Danny Rich, which is the role that went to Ice Cube, they offered it to somebody else who was interested in participating but could not because his calendar coincided with the production of Beverly Hills Ninja, Mr. Chris Farley.
Oh,
can you imagine?
Yes.
I can't. Yeah.
Yes, that would have made this a comedy. This would have made it a campy
comedy. It would have made it actually very funny. Yeah.
He couldn't have played a serious, like...
Would have been wild.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, this was the Cube's role for sure.
They would have had way more fun on set, and I think it would have made for a more campy movie.
Yeah.
Which
they
would have been down for.
It would have been a comedy. But then no one would have, we wouldn't be reviewing it.
I don't know.
It would have bumped it up at least 10% on the old RT.
What's the Zahn? What's is that?
Well, now 26. We need to decide, is this film a guilty pleasure, pleasure,
I've
just plain guilty.
I've already said
it. We already know how you both feel.
I already said it several times.
I think it's a definition of a guilty pleasure where it's like so bad it's good. Because I genuinely was on the edge of my seat. Like, what the fuck do they have up their sleeves if this is like act one and this goofy shit is happening? So I definitely say guilty pleasure. Watch it.
I thought it was, I think that if you ironically like this movie, you're a bad person.
Yeah. If you take it seriously.
If you take it seriously, you're very much like just pulling people's legs and all of that stuff. It just,
you're too much of a jokester.
Yeah. I think that it's a guilt. And if you want to watch it, go for it. But just know that it cost $100,000 a second for that CGI.
Yeah, okay.
And that could have gone to starving children all over the planet.
Hey, man, they tried hard, those CGI artists.
What do you say?
I feel like I forget what our criteria is at this point. Because undoubtedly, this movie is bad.
Yeah.
It's very bad.
Yeah.
But I also... enjoyed it, and I think that if you watch, I mean, I was stoned. If you watch this with friends, it's funny and it's fun.
Uh-huh.
If that ain't a guilty pleasure, I don't know what fucking
all
is.
Right.
So that's, I think it's a guilty pee, baby.
I think you're right.
It is way too based on the time of day and the circumstances you are under for me to call it a guilty pleasure.
It's a watch with friends movie.
It may be a watch with friends. So I watch it in the middle of the morning. Mm-hmm. Fresh out of bath. Fresh out of bed.
Yeah, you watch it at 8 a.m. No fucking wonder you're angry about it.
Yeah, that's true.
All right.
Well, tell me, does this sound like someone who is angry?
I'm not having a blast. I'm so shocked. I'm so shocked that was the end of the movie that I couldn't do anything else but laugh.
I think you had a good time. You needed pals.
No.
You needed pals to watch with you.
Maybe.
Hippo.
Laughs of freaking joy.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I'm curious, anyone out there, does Anaconda hold that nostalgic place in your heart? Is it one of your essential guilty pleas? Please tell us why.
Is this one of your guilty pleas? Please tell us why.
Guilty pleas, please.
And if you need to adopt a dog, go check out I Stand With My Pack on Instagram.
Oh. He'll breathe into your
face. You should call him Muscle.
Muscle.
Meaty boy.
He's fucking cute.
Yeah.
I think that's it for this episode, huh?
Wow. I'm like drained.
Yeah.
After that.
Yeah.
I feel like an anaconda just wrapped its body around me and popped my bones.
Okay, don't make it sound sexy.
it was a sexy movie.
What? You guys weren't into that?
Next week we're watching Enough. No, I'm kidding.
I'm at Corndy and all things.
Oh my God, they're all things.
I'm Gary Bernard and all the things.
And until next time, is it just me or does the jungle make you really, really horny? Wow. Ka-chow.
Ka-chow.